You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might, with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalogue of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word, victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be.
Winston Churchill declaring that message was when they were going to go against Nazi Germany. They had thought in England for a long time, just give Hitler a little bit more land and he'll finally be satisfied. And then Winston Churchill stood up and he said, I have nothing to offer you but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. And then at the end, he said, you ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word. It is victory. Victory at all cost. Victory in the spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be, because without victory, there is no survival. And that speech launched out for World War II for things to shift and to change so that Nazi Germany was no longer the powerhouse moving across Europe. Peter is coming to us in this series, in this passage of Scripture, with resolve and saying, I have nothing to offer you but blood, sweat, toil, and tears. Doesn't mean that there's not joy in the Christian journey as well, but he's saying in this time, there's a place of suffering, and I've got nothing to offer you. If you're going to become a believer in Christ, if you're going to walk with God, if you're going to be a human being, really, you are going to encounter suffering in this world. You're going to encounter things that are not fun in this world. You're going to encounter things that are not good in this world, but I want you to encounter them because of God's will. Not because of choosing wrong, but because of choosing right. I want your suffering to come because you belong to me, and I will see you through. I want you to be resolved. So Peter, as he offers us blood, sweat, toil, and tears, he also offers us the power of God through the Holy Spirit. He offers us joy in the Christian life. He offers us blessing in the midst of it. But in the midst of all of those things, he knows that the victory in Christ that we will have for all of eternity if we are a believer in Jesus will not come without some blood, sweat, toil, and tears. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 is where we're going to be. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 is where we're going to start out, and we're going to go through this passage of Scripture to verse 19. So welcome to all of our campuses. If everybody can grab their listening guide, Siena, Cypress, downtown Espanol, you can take some notes along. Here's what it says here. Dear friends, do not be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes. I want you to circle friends and fiery. Dear friends, do not be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual was happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah so that you may rejoice with great joy at the revelation of his glory. So here we have in this first thing, it says, dear friends, that Peter calls us friends. He's not coming against us. God's not our enemy when we go through difficult times. He is still our friend. We are still friends with God. But yet there's going to be a fiery ordeal. Now there's two ways that Peter could be meaning this. One is that in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 7, it talks about that we're going to be purified like gold and silver is purified in a fire. Two could be that in the historic time period that this is written in, Nero is the emperor, and Nero would burn Christians at the stake to light up the night. A fiery ordeal of purification or a fiery ordeal of martyrdom. So Peter has these things possibly in his mind as he's saying, now don't be surprised when things are going to come against you. See, Christians should expect, have an expectation, and the celebration of purification. Christians should have an expectation and a celebration of purification. Now, doesn't mean we celebrate, hey, we want to be martyrs. That's not what I'm saying. It's not some kind of death wish. It's not some kind of weird mental thing where we just want to get harmed. It's saying that God knows the limit that he can test us. God is aware of how he's testing and purifying us. And so we as believers in Christ, if you place your trust in Jesus Christ, you can step forward and say, you know what? There's going to be a purification that will happen in my life. There's an expectation that will happen. Did you see what it said in that verse of scripture? It said, do not be surprised as if something unusual were happening to you. We think a lot of times when things come against us, we're like, why is this happening to me? You ever thought that? And he's saying, don't be surprised when this happens to you, because it happens to everyone. Every believer in Christ, every person really in life is going to have things come. There is a broken world that we live in. So as believers, though, we can have an expectation that it's going to happen, and even a celebration that we're being purified in our motives. We're being purified in our way. We've been purified in Christ through his salvation, but now we're walking it out in sanctification. See, God is going to use trials in your life and in my life, the blood, sweat, toil, and tears, to burn out the trivial and burn in the trusting. We've been saying that lately. To burn out the trivial, that we're not worried about the trivial, but we've got burned in the trusting of what can happen. Kelly and I went out to eat recently, and our deacon body actually is blessed us with a gift certificate to Brennan's. So we went to Brennan's for a lunch, which was great. And our deacon body and our staff, we get along so well and love the deacon body here at our church. Great, great men. And so they just want to be a blessing to our family, have been for years. And so they gave us a gift certificate to Brennan's, and they said, hey, we want you to go. We love you. We love what's happening in your life. We want you to just take you and Kelly go out and just have a little time or a little date. So we got to Brennan's, and I mean, if you've ever been there, it's awesome. If you haven't been there, it's awesome. So we get there and we're eating. It's raining. We park, the valet parking thing. We go in, we eat, we have a great time. It's awesome. We have all the food that we want and everything's great. And then so we get out and we're leaving. And right at that time, a party had kind of ended, a luncheon had ended. And so now the valet line is like really long. It's raining and it's packed right there at these stairs and the exit there of Brennan's downtown. And so we walk out, and so we hand our little card to the valet guy and we just step out. And so all these people are coming and coming. And this lady walks out, beautifully dressed, from this luncheon. And she walks out and she goes, oh, what a nightmare. It's raining and there's a valet line. And I wanted to say, wow, if this is your nightmare, to leave Brennan's and have a long valet line because it's raining and some guy's going to, you know, he's running in the rain to get your car. Then he's going to take you with an umbrella, right, to the car. And the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, what a nightmare. Luxury can bring shallowness, can it? Or it can bring gratitude. Isn't in itself just bad? But the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. And thinking about this phrase, trials burn out the trivial and burn in the trusting. Now, I don't know this lady, and I'm not trying to pass big judgment on her. I'm just saying it just seemed like there was a lot of trivial at that moment. If this is the nightmare that's happening in your life, to wait in a valet line while it's raining and there's too many people in your way. Trials burn out the trivial. And they burn in the trusting so that you sit there and you're like, you know what? This is first world problems. This is not an issue. This is a blessing is what this is. And Peter is saying, I want you to be aware. I want you to understand. I want you to know trials will come. They are coming for your life, but leverage it for growth instead of for angst. Let it be something that you celebrate because you say, Lord, you're growing me through this. One man put it like this, a Christian is like a tea bag. He's not much good until it's gone through hot water. A Christian's like a tea bag. He or she is not much good until they've gone through hot water. So we see this and we go, we're going to celebrate. We're going to have expectations and we're going to know that it's coming. Now look at verse 14. Verse 14 of chapter 4. It says, if you're ridiculed for the name of Christ, so why are you suffering? If you're ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed because of the spirit of glory, of the spirit of the, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Verse 15, none of you, however, should suffer as a murderer or a thief, as an evildoer, as a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he should not be ashamed, but should glorify God in having that name. Blessed in suffering. What? Isn't that an oxymoron phrase? Blessed in suffering? He says, if you suffer for my name, you will be blessed. Matthew chapter 5. For when they falsely accuse you and say all sorts of evil things about you because of me, you will be blessed. Blessed in suffering? That doesn't make any sense at all. Now, many men that are football fans in the room, you'll remember this. It's always on the ESPN top 10 thing where they show this clip of coaches ranting and raving. There's always one of Jim Mora for the Indianapolis Colts when they had lost a game over 5 turnovers. They interview him at the press conference, and one of the reporters asked him, sir, do you think that you'll make it to the playoffs? And the coach is leaning over, he goes, playoffs? Playoffs? I hope we even win a game. Blessed in suffering? Blessed in suffering? What are you talking about? Is this Christian crazy talk? Playoffs? Are you crazy? No. Because in the midst of suffering, God is doing something inside of us that is not worthy to be compared to what is going on outside of us. And the value of true life is not what happens on the exterior, it's what's happening on the interior. And what happens on the interior has eternal consequences and blessings to it. So he's saying, I want you to live for me. And if you're living for me, you're going to be blessed even as you're going through the trials. I want you to go through the trials because they're coming, but don't go through them as an evildoer, as a meddler, as a thief, as all of these other things. Go through them because you're walking with God. You and I are going to suffer. The question is, are we suffering in our own demise? Or are we suffering as God is bringing us stronger in him? See, living in Christ is a great way to bless your life. Living in Christ is a great way to bless your life. Now, that's obvious. We'd go amen for that. But what the verses of Scripture just showed us is that living in Christ is going to bring to us some suffering. Not everybody is going to say, this is awesome. We have tolerance all throughout our society, except this. Go on your Facebook page and say, tolerance, colon, I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, died on the cross, rose again on the third day, and is the one way to God. And watch what'll happen. Tolerant of every view except for the resurrected Christ, right? So when you live for Jesus, it's going to be things that are going to have to happen. And God's going to use that in your life. And here's the great thing. Living for Christ is what lasts. All of us as students, when you're a student, you have this certain thing. It seems like the whole world revolves around what's going on at school. So you do the things that revolve around at school. But you know what? That's not really lasting. So then you graduate and you get out. Now you're single and you think it's all about the work world and getting that first apartment, that first house. But you know what? That's not where you stay forever either. Then you get married or have some kids. Well, that changes too. Life is always moving. What's a foundational aspect under every stage of life? It's being a believer in Jesus Christ that can help you as a student, can help you as a single, can help you as a married, can help you as a widow, help you as a widower, help you in good times, bad times, whatever it is. God can do something in Siena. He can do it in Cyprus, downtown, Espanol, the Loop. Every life, every place, living for Christ can change your life. It is lasting. Charles Spurgeon stood in the Colosseum at Rome where they would kill the Christians. They'd be eaten by lions for the entertainment of the people. I've been there. I've stood there. It's a very sobering place to stand as you think your brothers and sisters in Christ were eaten by lions for their faith here in this place. This is what Spurgeon said, though, talking about what lasts forever. Standing in the Colosseum at Rome, I could not, as I looked around at the ruins of the vast house of sin, I could not but praise God that the church existed though the Colosseum is in ruins. Anyone standing there when thousands upon thousands gloated their eyes with the sufferings of Christians would have said, Christianity will die out, but the Colosseum so firmly built will stand to the end of time. But lo, the Colosseum is a ruin, and the church of God is more firm and more strong and more glorious than ever. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, let's applaud that, every campus. They've been predicting the demise of the church forever, haven't they? And the church still stands and still walks on because the power of God, what it said in verse 14, I don't want you to miss it. If you're ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Why? Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Get that for just a second. The Spirit of God rests on the believer and indwells the believer in Christ. So the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits. So now you can make it through cancer. You can make it through grief. You can make it through good times and bad times monetarily. You can make it through times you understand. You can make it through times when everybody turns their back on you. You can make it through any times because the Spirit of God rests upon you and lives inside of you. That's the power to walk in this world of difficulty. Or you just try to willpower your way through. You try to cliche your will through. Well, when God closes the door, he opens a window. God will never give you more than you can handle. Greek word for that, baloney, okay? God will often give you more than you can handle. Because if you could handle it, you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, for we do not want you to be, chapter 1, verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our affliction took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we despaired unto life. Even indeed, we personally had a sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises from the dead. They were completely overwhelmed, so that they would not trust in themselves, but in trust in the one who raises from the dead. So living in Christ is a great way to bless your life. But he goes on, he says, but don't suffer for being a meddler or evildoer or a thief or a liar, all these things. Living in sin is a great way to wreck your life. Living in Christ is a great way to bless your life. Living in sin is a great way to wreck your life. It's an awesome, awesome way to wreck your life. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. So when we jump into the current of sin, where is that going to take you? Really, when we jump into sin, let's ask the question, okay, if I do this now, let me see somebody else, because there's always examples. What does somebody else look like that has done this all the way for a few years? What does this look like? How does this turn out? You'll always see it turns out bad. You never at the end go, man, that person, that was amazing how he betrayed God and jumped into sin. And I mean, you talk about his marriage is awesome and his family's awesome. And I mean, he lived to like a really old age and everything's good. No. It's always this downfall, this cautionary tale, right? I mean, just watch every year, watch pop stars and celebrities die at early ages. It happens every single year. Watch them go into rehab, watch them fall apart, watch them become has-beens. And all of that happens every time. But when you see it in the moment, when you see it in the moment, wow, just wait. It will happen. Just Google, where are they now, and put in a year. And pick your year, and you'll find all sorts of stuff. It doesn't just happen for celebrities. It happens for all of us. So living in sin is a great way to wreck your life. In verse 15, none of you should suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a meddler, getting in between people where you don't belong. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he should not be ashamed, but should glorify God in having that name. Thank you, Lord, that I have that name. Blessing in suffering. Playoffs. What? Playoffs? Yes. Super Bowl even. In the grace of Jesus Christ. Because what happens is you do things and I do things that are sinful and that are wrong. And we could come to the cross where Jesus died and say, Lord, I lay this down and I've done things that are wrong and I'm suffering for it in a lot of ways. I'm being punished by my own doing in a lot of ways. And Lord, I want to give that to you in your grace and your forgiveness, and I want your grace to go over me. I still may have some of the consequences, but Lord, I want you to be the Spirit of God that's leading me. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God? So the first, what's going to happen in judgment, just so you'll know what's happening, judgment's first going to be the Christians, the believers in Christ. We're going to encounter judgment first. Then non-believers are going to encounter judgment. The Christian's judgment is we'll stand before the Lord. It will not be based on heaven and hell at that point, because you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. It will be based on eternal rewards of what you did for Christ on planet Earth. That's what it's going to be. It's called the Bema Seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the believers, it's going to be the great white throne judgment. That is of where you're going to spend eternity. Have you trusted in Jesus as Savior? Have you not trusted in Jesus as Savior? Have you trusted in yourself as Savior? Have you trusted in Christ as Savior? And what Peter is saying, judgment's going to begin, starts with the house of God, the believers, in order. And then he's going to say, and if we're going to make it through judgment by the grace of Christ, what's going to happen to the folks who don't have Jesus? So here's the truth about it. For the believer in Christ, this world is as bad as it's ever going to get. For the non-believer in Christ, this world is as good as it's ever going to get. For the person that knows Jesus, this is as bad as it's ever going to get. For the person who doesn't know Jesus, this is as good as it's ever going to get. On the other side of judgment, separated from God. So look at verse 17 again. For now the time has come for judgment. Oh no, judgment. We hate that word. Accountability is not a part of our culture, is it? Judgment to begin with God's household. It begins with us. What will be the outcome for those who disobey the gospel of God, that they don't know Christ as Savior? They've rejected the good news. Now he's going to quote Proverbs 11:31, is why it's centered in your Bible and bold-faced. And if a righteous person is saved with difficulty, meaning that you're saved but you go through hard times, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So those who suffer according to God's will should, while doing what is good, entrust themselves to a faithful Creator. So he's saying in this, there's going to be judgment that comes. Every person will encounter judgment. Here's what it will be. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have placed your faith and trust in the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for your sins, and it's a free gift for you to receive, to be saved, to be born again. Those are biblical words, not Baptist words, biblical words. To be able to be born again, to be saved, to place your faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit then rests on you, lives inside of you. If you've placed your faith in Christ as your Savior, then the judgment will be, now what did you do for eternity for the rest of the days? If you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then the judgment will be, are you holy enough to go to heaven on your own? And I've got to tell you the bad news. You will not be holy enough to go to heaven on your own. And you will be separated from God from all of eternity. Well, I don't want somebody to come to Christ just because they want to avoid hell. Avoiding hell is a great reason to come to Christ. It is an absolutely super reason for coming to Christ. Not the only reason, but it's a wonderful, amazing, great reason, because judgment will come. And so I want to be all enveloped in Jesus Christ so that when the judgment comes, I can point to the cross and say, I've already received the judgment because my faith has been placed in Jesus, and he died for me, and he declared it is finished and rose again from the grave. And so now I stand here before, what did I do for eternity? Man, I hope I did as much as I could do, because I want jewels on my crown, and I want to just throw my crowns at the feet of Jesus to worship. So he's saying it's going to begin with the house of the Lord. It's going to begin with the believers first. And then if this is as good as it gets for us on earth, think how bad it's going to be for those who have not trusted in Christ. And let's share our faith with them. So that verse 19 is what we'll close with. So those suffering according to God's will should, while doing what is good, entrust themselves to a faithful Creator. Stretching brings growing. Stretching brings growing. So those who suffer according to God's will, while doing what is good, that's going to bring growth in your life. And then it says next, it says, trust the faithful Creator. I love this. Trust the faithful Creator. Do good and trust the faithful Creator. Do you know that this is the only time in the New Testament that faithful and Creator are put together? Only time, right here. Peter puts it together. Think how powerful that is. When you and I are going through a difficult time, be it sickness, be it something at work, be it something in your marriage, be it something in your home, be it something with your kids, be it something at school, whatever it is, when we're going through a difficult time, can we entrust ourselves, hear it, to the faithful, not fickle, faithful. He's going to see you through. Creator, he is in charge of everything. Faithful creator, that's who I want to entrust myself to during hard times. So even if I'm going through something that might truly be a real nightmare, or even if I'm just going through some first world problems, because Lord, you're faithful. You're doing something in me. This is teaching me patience. This is teaching me kindness. The fruit of the Spirit's coming out in my life. Teach me all these things. You're doing something and perfecting me. See, storms are either correcting storms to get us on the right path or perfecting storms to keep us on the right path. Which storm is it, God? Is it a correcting storm to put me on the right path or perfecting storm to get me more purified as I'm journeying this path? And I'm going to entrust myself through this place to a faithful of all eternity creator that holds everything in your hands. And I'm going to trust that somehow, some way, you love me greatly, but you're allowing this to take place in my life for my betterment. And I'm going to resolve to follow Jesus. I have nothing to offer you but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many, many long days of struggle and suffering. You ask what our policy is. I say that it is to wage war by land, by sea, by air, with all of our might and all of the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny, never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. That is our policy. You ask what is our aim. I answer in one word. Here it is, a believer in Christ. Victory. Victory at all costs, victory in spite of all terror, victory however long, how hard, how long or hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival. And I tell you this, one day you'll go through everything you're going through and you and I will step through that judgment seat of Christ if you're a believer of Jesus. You'll have jewels on your crown that you won't even imagine, things that you've done for eternity you didn't know made such a difference, and you'll step through and you'll have victory, victory, victory. For all the blood, sweat, toil, and tears, and I tell you, the Bible says it's true, and I believe it, and I hope you do too, it will have been worth it, because God will have done something for eternity in our lives. Not just temporary, I want my valet and I don't want it to rain, but something eternal that even that valet that's getting my car's got a soul. And he may be happier than me with the joy of the Lord in his life. Peter says, I have to offer you blood, sweat, toil, and tears. The Christian life, life itself, is not easy. Will we go through it in the power of God or in the power of ourselves? Will we suffer for sin? Or we suffer for living for him and be blessed.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.